Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. My name is Phil Armstrong. And on today's show, I want to be talking about Bible prophecy, of course. That's what we call the prophecy zone. I want to talk about the swine flu. And what I want to talk about, I want to read y'all an article. And it's from the Time Union. And on the article, it talks about, well, I'll just read it to y'all. It says, in Albany, workers at the Capital Region Hospital are going to have to get the flu shot or else face being fired. The requirement is part of a new emergency regulation adopted earlier this month by the State Hospital Review and Planning Council that requires that all hospital workers get the flu vaccine and that it be a requirement for employment. Hospitals are quickly trying to assemble new worker policies to comply with the regulations, and those that have been put in place threaten disciplinary action and even termination if workers from janitors and food service workers to doctors and nurses refuse to get the shot. The policy affects about 25,000 people in the region. Albany Medical Center, the region's leading hospital, sent out announcements to workers earlier this week saying employees have to get the flu shot by October 16th. Spokesman Gary McGarry, said the hospital may take corrective action against employees if they don't comply, although he declined to get into specifics and what type of penalties they will face. The thing I want to talk about with this article is that we know that in Matthew 24, verse 7, it mentions pestilence is one of the signs that Jesus is coming back pretty soon. I wanted to look at this in detail a little bit. Now, these workers are told that if you don't take the vaccination, you can face termination. And they are changing their policies to fit this new regulation that some state organization came up with. Now, this kind of reminds me of the mark of the beast, because it says no man will buy or sell unless he had a mark. Well, in this case, no man will buy or sell unless he takes this vaccine, kill himself. Literal suicide. What a way to look at it. But I'm looking at these dates that they're talking about. Now, this could be like Y2K and it's boiled right over into next year, 2 years from here, 3 years from here. But one of these years, when people are saying something's going to happen, something's going to happen. One of these years. And when the nation and the world is talking about vaccinations, now this thing might boil over and they might get on the news and say, oh, it was just a false alarm, let's carry on as usual. And then the next time, what happens? Nobody's going to be prepared and then it's going to hit. Well, they're given a date of October 16th, and a lot of newspapers and media organizations are hitting that around October they want a lot of people, around October, November, they want people to be vaccinated. By the end of the year, they want to vaccinate one-fourth of the population in the United States is the workforce. So they want to make sure one-fourth is vaccinated. Now, if this is the God himself saying, okay, I'm trying to warn you people of the world, of my children and potential children, that I'm coming back. This is coming straight off the pages of the Bible. Now, I want to look at something that hopefully it doesn't mix you up today. It doesn't. Hopefully I don't mix you up. It talks about, in Matthew 24, it gives the signs of Jesus coming. It gives signs of Jesus coming. Okay. So when you look at Matthew 24, it gives signs. Now, I'm going to break Matthew 24 down to you, not the whole thing, but the first 8 or 9 chapters, verses. Now, we know that there is a pre-trib period, which we can count it from the time Jesus descended and went into heaven, or crucified and went into heaven. We can count that. So 2,000 years ago, all the way to now, we can say that the first 8 verses of Matthew 24 fit the bill. Okay, because he's back there talking. He's actually literally back there talking to the disciples. That was 2,000 years ago. Now, he comes and says there should be, he says, many should come in my name saying I am Christ, and just to deceive many. Now, the many here can represent millions. Now, we know that the New Age movement has a movement saying, I am. I am that I am. I'm Christ. We are Christ. And they're saying, many are saying that we are Christ. That's part of the New Age movement, believe it or not. Okay? And it says, in verse 6, it says, and you should hear wars and rumors of wars. We've been hearing wars and rumors of wars since the United States was founded. It says, for all these must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So he can literally be talking about 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Because there was World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, Korean War. There was all kinds of wars. Wars, there's always rumors of wars. Rumors that we were going to go after Saddam Hussein. Okay? Okay, first. Now, this is what I want to explain to everybody. Okay. Verse 7 is different. Verse 7 brings us all the way up to World War III. Because you notice, first he's saying there's wars and rumors of wars, and then out of nowhere he says, four nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So it's a surprise. Now, Ezekiel 38 and 39, along with Isaiah 17, along with Psalms 83, and I apologize. I'm not looking at the chat room. I really apologize. Hold on. Sorry about that. Okay. What I was talking about is that in Matthew 24, verse 7, it talks about nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Then it talks about pestilence, earthquakes, and famines in diverse places. Now, we all know that the swine flu is in the news, and we all know that earthquakes are actually, big earthquakes are not on the increase. Small ones are. We also know of famines, but they're not regional. I mean, they're regional. They're not worldwide yet. Now, nation should rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, has a good chance of being World War III. Now, pestilence, earthquakes, and famines are mentioned after nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So what I'm trying to say is that there's a good chance that World War III will increase these activities. Famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. So what I'm saying is a lot of people are looking for more signs. What did Jesus say to the people back there where he was trying to say, hey, you guys seek after a sign, but I'm going to give you one. It's me going to be crucified and rose again. That's the sign I'm giving you. Now, a lot of people today are scoffing and saying that Jesus is not going to come back at any time. He's not planning on coming back. Not until my son graduates from high school, or not until I get my degree, my college degree, or not until this or that. But Jesus is not waiting on you. So people use this in reverse. People use it against me because I have a ministry, and they say, you can't force Jesus Christ to come back. He's going to come back when he wants to. That which is true. But if it was up to you, he would come back after John graduates from high school. Or once you find that man of your dreams, and y'all have about 5 arguments, you wish Christ would come back that night. But until y'all have that 5 arguments, and the honeymoon's still going, you care less if Christ comes back at all. You still got to die, though. It's tough to say, but you still literally got to die. So why take that chance to be born again and go to heaven? And anyway, I'm off track. So the swine flu is being positioned to be a false flag event, meaning I don't know if they're going to turn it against Mother Nature to say, hey, Mother Nature did it, or if they're going to find somebody else like the Iranians and blame it on them. But I also think there are other things that are coming down the pike which would not limit us to or limit the activities to the swine flu. There's going to be many other things coming down the pike, like neutron dirty bombs going off in major cities. And you say, well, you just come out bluntly and say that. You wish that on America? Well, I don't wish nothing on America. Matter of fact, I pray for America. However, and this is in my spectrum of life, this is around my aura, this is around my location, that I don't think people really give a darn about God. Like I said in previous programs, if this is a Christian nation, you believe me, even if people knew you were a Christian, they would actually try to make sure you were going to heaven when you die. So I go visit my mom, hypothetically, and my mom don't say anything about Jesus the whole 10-day trip. I have a problem believing that this is a Christian nation. I'm using my mom because I'm using the person closest to me. If I go to Spokane Community College or wherever, Eastern Washington, and I'm walking around and nobody tries to tell me about Christ, there's no conversation about Christ. I don't hear no conversation about Christ in the hallways. The teachers don't bring up Jesus. Heck, I go to church and people don't bring up Jesus. I'm talking about the average pew, the person who is sitting in the pews. Oh, you've been too religious if you want to get excited for Jesus. Yeah. Let me talk about the people in the chat room. When I have a show, and I wanted to address this a while back, when I have a show, and I'm not even looking at the chat room right now, but when I have a show, and the reason why I'm not looking at the chat room is there's weird reasons. I have double screens where I can have 2 screens. I just haven't hooked it up yet. But sometimes I just look straight at my switchboard. And I've been having problems with callers. who's been calling in, either making racist statements or just don't really have nothing to say or just want to clog up the airways or whatever you want to call it, the data waves. And I know that there is an attack from the devil at various moments. Now, I looked at the chat room really quick, and I kind of went back off of it because if y'all heard me pause, I was kind of reading all the messages at one time, one shot, and it kind of made me pause. And I didn't even respond to the person at that time. I still don't know it. But when you are doing God's will, you're going to have people calling in at nighttime talking about, hey, you got any crumbs? You got any crumbs? And this lady calls in and kind of reminds me of Peter and John or Peter and James or James and John, whatever combination, walking around back in the biblical days in the book of Acts. And a lady comes up and you are the people of God, you know. That's what that reminds me of. This one guy calls in talking about you voted for Obama, didn't use the N-word. I said, come on. And I didn't address it at the time. I said, if you're going to spend 10 o'clock and you, good chance it could be 1:30 at nighttime in the East Coast, you're going to spend your time calling in to this radio program just to do that? And you're a grown man or woman? You got mental problems. You either got mental problems, you're an alcoholic, and nothing against alcoholics because I used to be one. So you're going to waste your time. Now, I don't mind YouTube videos. I put out a couple bad YouTube videos, and I just left them up there, and they got a lot of views. One person said about one of my videos must have a broken teleprompter, which is correct. I watched the video again, so he's correct. But when people say bad things about me like that, I'll say, I mean, I'm going to use that to improve myself, improve my videos. But there is, people of God, there is such thing as a satanic attack. Big time. Even when your computer, you're trying to get your computer, I'm trying to cut these videos out, make these videos, cut these pieces, slice these pieces, and my program freeze up. I don't even have no windows open. So now why would this program freeze up like that? Just before the radio program came on, I didn't think I was going to even be able to, I was going to hit some other part of the theme song. I was going to hit another thing to come in. This little girl prays. She's 2 years old. She prays, and then I was going to hit another one, and I couldn't even do it because the windows had the windows went stiff on me, and I thought I wasn't going to even be able to do anything else but just talk on the phone. And matter of fact, I'm almost in the position of belief I have a bug on my computer right now. The very thing that I had, the message that I had a couple of months ago says, you're running out of disk space on your local drive. To free space up drive from the drive, delete old unnecessary files. So I just saw that just a few seconds ago. That's the very same message I had when I had a bug on my computer a couple of months ago. See, the devil, he'll do anything. And I just saw that. As soon as I was talking to you, talking on the radio program, I just saw that. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's the same. And it's a simple message. It says, load disk space. The last time that happened, the computer wouldn't let me do anything else but try to fish for space on my disk drive. Therefore, making it hard for me to do anything that I'm supposed to be doing anyway, on the computer. So I'm kind of nervous about this. I'm going to try to shut this thing down. It just went down, so I don't know if it's... There's no way I have low disk space. So I'm thinking maybe I have a bug or something. So I got 40 minutes to talk about Bible prophecy. I was watching the news, and the only thing I've seen lately is there are a few bills being passed that we need to be aware of. And I will be aware of that. I'll be warning you about that on the next show. But Ted Kennedy passed away, and he had his funeral. And I told my wife, and I would love to be wrong, But I told my wife, be leery if you hear nothing on the news. She said, what do you mean? I mean, national news. When everything dies out, including the health care plan that Mr. Obama's putting out, even that. Even that. When everything just nothing, no news, very little news, very little news. What I mean by that, very little news, even the economic news is sort of quiet. Yeah, I have a book on my computer. Exactly. I don't know where I got it from. I just got it. Matter of fact, the disk cleaned up is calculating how much space you will be able to free it. Yeah, it's a bug. And it comes, and the bug comes in the form of something that the computer is actually trying to do that's a normal thing. So I'm going to start this cycle again where I have to go clean up this space, and then the computer says it's cleaning up this space for you, but it's not really doing it. And don't ask me where I got the bug from. And you ain't gonna be able to, you won't be able to stop it. It'll just keep rotating itself, and it'll be a little bitty thing at the end telling you down in your right-hand corner, yep, your winter dry has only one. Maybe it's true. I'll take a look at it, but I'm almost, either I just don't have any disk space and it's telling me the truth, or it's a bug on my computer. And I had one a couple months ago, and it's right in front, right in the middle of my switchboard. Talk about demonic. Okay, so it could have told me, I've been on this computer most of the day. It could have told me that a long time ago. It waited into the program. See, what we do is we think, Christians think we're doing a minimal job. Like, for instance, if we go out and witness to our people, you know, our church has this thing where we go out and witness. And then the devil's going to come and tell you, you're not doing enough. You're not doing this or you're not doing that. Now, God might tell you, you're not, you know, go out and do more, but it's in a different form. So the devil's been after me, telling me, hey, ain't nobody listening to you on blogs already. You just got 25 here, 35 here. But I was looking at my July, my June, and it's up to 200, 300 people on one archive. Now, I know that my show can go even farther than it's been going because I just got to put in the work for it. That's not hard. But the devil is out to lie to us, to tell us we're not doing enough. And then sooner or later it becomes work. It becomes a matter of work. But also in the process of what him doing that, he sends interference. He sends arguments. He sends doubts and all these things. So if you're doing something for God, especially on Ball Talk Radio, hang in there. You know, just hang in there. You know, don't let it get you down. If your husband's getting in the way, or your wife is getting in the way, your kids are going crazy, going out and finding condoms in their rooms and stuff, and they're supposed to be Christian kids. Yeah. There it is again. Low disk space. Yep. It's like a cycle. Why would the computer really care? Just tell me one time that the disk space is bad, and then I'll deal with it later. If it was not a bug, this is the same thing that happened the last time. Now, what website did I go on and get a bug? Sometimes bugs come in normal, react, like the computer come and tell you you need to do this or you need to do that. That's a bug. Okay, the same way the devil works in your life. We think that the devil, some people think the devil's around every corner. I don't. But the thing is, sometimes the simple stuff that you think is just you or your wife or is your friend or your cousin, somebody argue with you, somebody at school, you think, well, they're trying to the kingdom of the devil is trying to shake you up for some reason. So when you have small things like this happen to your computer, or when you have crazy people calling in and talking about, you know, Obama's in the N-word or whatever, why you did you vote for him? He said, don't call on the show talking about that. Don't come in my chat room talking like you're, come on. So that's when you need to keep pressing in. You need to just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, I got a bug on my computer. Sweet. I can't believe this. Sweet. And the thing is, it comes during a radio program. That is just awesome. And I got also, most of the bad thing is I got most of the programs on, I got most of my programs, most of my video programs on this computer. So isn't that fine and dandy? So I'm just going to have to push through that. Do I have Windows Vista? Nah. Yeah, I'm going to have to do that too. Okay, so let me change the subject. The computer doesn't break down on me. I want to talk about, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to get this archived. God has given us the United States as a gift. And if we don't look at a free country like this, the most prosperous country in the world like this, then we have become numb and disillusioned. The United States is set up in a unique fashion, regardless of where you look at it. I've talked to some people of my race, and they always reflect back on the civil rights movement or slavery. But the thing is that I've seen too many people in the African American race that are successful. So there's no way we can reflect. I mean, we can't continue to reflect on these issues, because if you told a child that you have shorter fingers than somebody else, and the other child sitting next to him, and he looks at his fingers and sees that they're the same size, sooner or later, if you keep telling him he has shorter fingers, he's going to believe it. So if you tell an African-American child that, hey, it's harder to get a job for the African-American, just prepare him and send him on his way. Because the white American, believe it or not, are getting laid off just like the black American, African-American. And I know a lot of people ain't going to like what I just said, but everybody's getting laid off. And now we have Mexican-Americans, because they're not American legally, but taking people's jobs. Now, they taking the jobs nobody wants. But it's going to come a fine line between some jobs people might want, and it's still going to the illegals. A house divided against itself will not stand. When President Obama was talking about when the college professor was trying to get into his house and he couldn't get in, so he broke in his house, and then the police came out of the house and had to get the college professor and take him to jail. I suspect that the college professor is acting belligerent. That's what I'm looking at because of President Obama's response. Now, he didn't apologize. That's kind of weird. Because if you're the president of the United States and you're jumping a gun like that, imagine what you'd do if a missile's on the way over here. Are you going to jump the gun like that again? Or should we say President Obama has the right to learn a lesson just as well as we do? But he didn't apologize. So did he learn? I suspect no. Now, the Bible tells me that I should respect my leaders in Romans chapter 13. I'm saying, you know what? I am. I'm a faithful President Obama. But see, I can do that because when Jesus was down and they were beating Jesus up, He did that for us. He took the bruises. He took the abuse for us. So I can take the abuse. But when somebody comes to me and say, Romans 13, we need to honor the president and all this other stuff. Well, why are you taking Saddam Hussein on? Well, I mean, why would you go in there and take him down when he's a sovereign nation? He was a sovereign nation. Why would you have to take him down if that was the case? God put him in charge. I mean, you can't, this kills me. We have double standards. Okay, so Obama can destroy the nation, and President Bush can destroy the nation. All the last four presidents have destroyed this nation. Well, let me see. Bush. Yep, all last four names. And they're all buddies. They all secret society buddies, but they all buddies too. Obama's hanging around. He calls President Bush, I think, dad or whatever. I don't know for sure, but he calls him something like that. So I'm like, come on, man. He's calling him dad. So, what's so particular about all of this is that these guys have a real agenda. If you want to, what I'm going to do is in the fall, probably in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to go buy me this little miniature camera. I think it has it's at YouTube, and I'm going to buy a mic, pretty good mic. And the mic, you can actually use it on my radio program. It's about the size of a cell phone. And what I'm going to do is go interview people, because I tried it about a couple of weeks ago, and I was doing pretty good interviews. And what I want to do is put together a documentary on how the average American citizen, and I ain't trying to make it seem like the average American citizen is ignorant. That's not what I'm trying to do, but I don't want to come across like that. But at the same time, we need to put it out there that the average citizen may not care. And I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but if you get into a way of life and you like hitting the clubs, you ain't gonna care. If you a college football player and you trying to get your, I mean, I don't blame the college football player. You trying to get a football game, you gotta get your homework in, and you gotta do this and this and this and this. Why would you care? And if your life is going good, you got a radio or a rock band, and you're doing good, and you're going from bar to bar. Why would you care if the society is going to collapse? I mean, you should. I mean, why would you care if? I mean, why would they? And I'm not saying that they shouldn't care. I'm just trying to be hypothetically funny. But if you're watching TV and you see, I actually see people who actually believe. Okay, you know those town meetings in an American citizen is like fussing. Oh no, you got it. And the ladies on CNN or Fox. Oh, this is crazy. You think they should just call the police and restrain them? This is the United States of America. We have the freedom to speak. If you're raping, so if somebody's getting raped, and then the rapist said to the raper, I mean the one's getting raped, excuse me, oh, stop screaming. This is what you need. What are you going to do? I mean, Obama does all this crazy stuff, comes out of the box, spending all the money. Healthcare should be run by the government. He thinks McDonald's should be run by the government. If a McDonald's burger, and I'm not saying the government don't make good burgers. I used to be in the Army. They make fine good burgers. But I don't want my local drugstore ran by the government. I don't want Yoke Supermarket or come on. So the average citizen believes that, I love my wife, so I'm talking about somebody that's dearest to me, my mom and my wife, or my kids. My wife is like, did you see those crazy guys at the town? I mean, I said, what the fuck, dude? Look, those people have the right to say what they want to say. They got the right to come out and say, hey, this is wrong. Where do you come to a conclusion when you see Government Motors instead of General Motors? What do? You just sit back and dig in your butt and just let everything go? That's why it's going to be revolution. You telling me I have to take a vaccine or else I'm going to get fired? What do you think going to cause this Gerald Celente revolution he's calling for? I mean, he's not calling for, but I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that like that. I'm saying he's predicting. And Gerald Celente is one of the most accurate forecasters this world has ever seen. And does he get his props? No. He's Jewish. I wonder why he's so accurate. So if the Russian economist says that the United States is going to be broken up into six different pieces, East Coast ran by the European Union, this place ran by the Canada, why would Canada run something from us? That's how bad it's going to get, I guess. Now they would say, and they did say some Mexico was going to run some terror. How in the heck Mexico going to run something? They can't run their own self, running stuff into a hole. Now look, the reason why I brought up the American citizen, if you told them the Federal Reserve is not federal, they'd look at you like you're crazy. So if you come to them and say, and like for the person in the chat room saying that the almighty dollar is your God, you know, there are many rich people who are the miserable. Tandy, the thing that Tandy said in his last waking hours was, I'll pay $1 million for one more hour to live. Do you think people that's in the sick bed, you think you go talk to them and they say, I wish I could have another $1 million? No, they say, I wish I could spend more time with my family. Where's this person? Why he's not up here to see me? Where's my little niece? Why she's not up here? How's she doing? Blah, 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 blah. The Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's also distorted knowledge. So if you're distorted about, see, the devil doesn't care. He doesn't care if you don't, he don't really need you to be right on issues, like on theology. He can have you right on theology and wrong in every other. He'll just get you. He's got many trees. Not only does he have many trees to offer you, or fruits to offer you, but he has sub-fruits and sub-trees, and it's so much that the devil can offer you. So much the devil can get you to respond to. Anger, malice, wrath, gossip. There's behind, you say, well, I don't believe that there's a devil behind every corner. If you read the Word of God, because the God will straighten you out on every corner. Because the Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. But there is issues around every corner. And if you don't tidy up every corner, and I'm talking to myself too, if you don't tidy up every corner, you're going to have a problem because he's going to use that against you every time. Does the devil take breaks? No. Have you ever heard of males going to sleep? You go to sleep. He can bring you, you can be married and bring you a wet dream. Now, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but he attacks you in every area. In every area. If he can't get you sexually, he's going to get you some other way. He said, it's the boogeyman. Yeah. Practically, yeah. And you know, in the Bible, it says that the people that go to heaven are going to look upon this guy and say, was that the person who brought down nations and blah, 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 blah? Yeah. That's him. Looks like a girl. Look like a pretty girl, though. I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but I'm just trying to make a point. And the Bible says that Satan has blinded the eyes of man so they can't see. That's in 1 Corinthians. He's blinded society that they can sit here and watch NFL. I love some NFL football. But when you get so involved in the world, there's somebody coming to you and say, you know, that's why food can get worse. Well, it'll be okay. They've handled many situations, which is true. We always buckle together and handle situations, which is a scary thing because one of these days, God is going to bring the wrath upon this country. And there is not going to be any halftime, timeout commercials. There ain't going to be none of that. It's going to be straight up United States, you no longer the United States. It's just part of a union. And that can come overnight, folks. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's an immediate statement. Other thing you need to have is another God of war that ignites. Now, do you think the average citizen, going back to the average citizen, you think they actually know it's coming? Now, do you expect them to live like it's going to come tomorrow? And if you're not talking about God himself, do you expect people should just no, I don't think so. I don't think people should always go out the house thinking they're going to get robbed. Or go out the house thinking World War 55 on side on them. The neutron bomb will hit them. This is a tip going to hit their forehead. I don't think you should go out the house like that. But I think you should go out the house with the perspective that today might be your last day. You might not never see your house again. You say, that's a bad perspective. That's the only way you're going to get back to Jesus. You need to get back to Jesus. Because if you think about it, E equals MC squared is a repetitive number, or pi. Let me see, I think, yeah, pi. It's a repetitive number that keeps going. It's like that number 8. 8 just continues to flow, just never stops. E equals MC squared never stops. Hell is eternity. It does not stop. So when I was in Qatar, or in Kuwait when the war first started, it was hot. We put a pipeline in. We got breaks, folks. We went out at 3 o'clock in the morning before the sun got out. We got back to the place at 7 o'clock. We had the whole day to ourselves in the Army before the war started. We played car. Everybody just do what they got to do. I was a Christian then, so. You can get a break. Even in prison, you can get a break. The most important thing I'm trying to tell y'all out there is that in hell, you can't get a break. I don't care. I haven't even looked at the chat room. But I'm telling you, anybody out there, do would you want to test the Christian faith? Would you want to test it by just going out and taking a gun and blowing your head off, and 5 seconds later, you're in hell? I dare you to do that. But you say, that's not nice to say. I wouldn't want to test it. Why would you want to test the Christian faith? No matter how many hypocrites are in the church, it's the only religion that says that one person died for the whole sins of the world. It's the only one. If you look at what people say about Jesus, that'll give you the answer that he is God. Because you know that the college professors don't say they don't deny he exists. They don't say he's a liar. They just make up things around the issue. They don't never say Jesus. I haven't heard of him being a liar. So if he says me and the Father is one, that means he's God. When Paul said it's appointed for a man to die once and then the judgment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Everybody's heard that. Over and over again, you probably heard it. But when you stand in front of Jesus to give an account, even those people who listen to this radio program are already going to hear my voice again when they stand in front of the judgment seat. And if you blow it off, where are you going to go? We don't know if the thing's going to start in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We don't know if it's going to start in a year. I'm still a fall feast person. I believe that whatever Jesus Christ comes back to intervene in history, the spring feasts have already been taken care of. That's why you have Easter, even if Easter is a pagan holiday. But it's still the time where Passover and all those things happen. When Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and now sit at the right hand of the Father, and Pentecost, when the church was formed, was happened somewhere around March, April, May. The fall feast is when all the things of the revelation will kick in, and it will end on the fall feast. 7 years plus 7 years from September is 7 years later in September. So they will begin in the fall and end in the fall. So if you start to see things happen, now don't trust this. I mean, this is just me. This is not something I'm making up. This is not something that I think you should ride off with in the sunset saying this is the new theory. This is just me. I believe that the fall feast will start off with Rosh Hashanah. I ain't going to tell you no dates or nothing like that. I'll be date setter. But I'm saying, whenever Rosh Hashanah hits, if there's a war, there's a major war right in front of it, same time, simultaneously, then you can almost bet you something's going on. I don't care what year it is, 2020. All the things that are in Bible prophecy will kickstart September, October time frame. Now, listen to me again. I am not picking a day and hour. I'm just telling you that there is a good chance that Jesus will take out his church. And yes, I'm a preacher, rapture person. The word church is not found anywhere after chapter 4 in the book of Revelation. The word church was mentioned 19 times from chapter 1 through 3. No longer it was mentioned anymore. The word saints in Revelations is addressing saints. If you listen to Paul, he addresses the church as saints, and he's also addressing the earlier people in the Old Testament as saints. Saint is set apart one. Saints means set apart one. So the church is gone. In Revelations, there will be new people who come into the kingdom of God, and they will be called saints. The elect is Israel. But the elect can also be those who are in the tribulation period. The 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses will preach the gospel to the ends of the world, plus an angel flying through the sky. Now, what person ain't going to respond to that one? The Bible says they still scoff at God. They still scoff at God. Why are you still scoffing at God after the sun had moved all the way closer to the earth and scorching you? Yeah, I heard of Jimmy DeYoung. I'm sorry. I apologize for everybody in this chat room. I can't chew gum and walk at the same time. So it's hard for me to continue to read your messages in the chat room and at the same time talk, because I just can't concentrate on two things. I got 11 minutes, so I wanted to talk to y'all right quick about who I think the Antichrist is, and I'm gonna leave it alone. The Bible told us to look for Jesus Christ, so I'm just addressing this issue. I believe that the Antichrist is not known yet. I'll say it again. I believe that the Antichrist is not known. He is not Tony Blair. He is not Prince Charles. He is not Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, because I promise I'll say President in front of his name, no matter how much I dislike him. He's not Bill Clinton. Of course he's not Ronald Reagan. Of course he's not John Kennedy. The Bible calls the Antichrist the king of fierce features. If you read the book of Daniel, chapter 7, chapters 8, chapters 9, chapter 2, the Bible says he should have a look more stout than his fellows. Now, there's no politician in history that ever met that in our modern era. Listen to me again. The king of fierce features. Now, not saying he's not going to be good looking. He ain't going to come out looking like this big old ape. The fierce features, and you know, he's scary looking. But have you ever seen a mafia dude, Italian, good looking guy, mafia, with his hair slicked back? Well, I think the Antichrist is going to, no matter how old he is, he could be 30 years old, he could be 60 years old, he's going to come out, and I'm just going to describe what I think he's going to look like. I think he's going to come out. His hair is going to be slicked back. If he's older, it's going to be kind of grayish black. And I know, once again, I had no visions or nothing. I'm just saying it was what I have articulate who he looks like. I think he's going to be sort of tanned because I think he's from Syria. He's going to be tanned. He's going to have character lines in his face. Have you seen a good-looking guy? Sean Connery, when he was back in the day, when he was 007, good-looking guy. Somebody similar to that. Hair slicked back, gray eyes, grayish green eyes, because the Bible says I saw eyes like a man. Good looking guy, 6'4". Once again, the Bible says he should have a look more stout than his fellows. A mouth speaking great things. I think his lips are going to be sort of, his facial features are going to be fierce, making him look kind of intimidating. So he's standing up to Barack Obama. Barack Obama's a pretty boy. So he's not the Antichrist. That eliminates him. Prince Charles eliminates him. Bill Clinton eliminates him. The Pope. Why are you going to come up with the Pope being the Antichrist? Antichrist is a political figure. The false prophet, I was watching a show yesterday. I was watching Howard Lindsay, and he was talking about St. Malachi and how accurate he was. He actually got Pope Benedict right. So I'm taking it that Pope Peter will be... I'm just taking a guess. You probably better be better off trying to figure out who's going to be the next pope. Because I knew Ratzinger was going to be the pope. I knew that a long time ago. And Cardinal Martini would be the next pope. So Cardinal Martini could be the false prophet. But the Antichrist is from Syria. The country that he subdued. Now remember, I don't believe that the beast is the European Union by itself. I think that the beast it encompasses the whole Mediterranean Union. The one that Sarkozy was talking about last year, and they got formed. The beast coming out of the sea would have an east wing. If you look at Daniel chapter 2, he has two legs with 10 toes. So I believe it would be the east and the west with 10, both breaking up into 5 regions. But I think that the east will go into Africa. So it'll cover the same trajectory as the old Roman Empire. I can't understand why people are going to say that Europe is just it, and they just cut it off like that. Now, the countries he subdued, here's my guess. The three countries he subdued don't mean he has to rip them up into pieces like Grant Jeffrey says. It means that he takes them over. If you think about it, what did God tell Adam to do? What did God tell Abraham to do? Go subdue. They didn't go tell him to go burn up the fields and tear, rip them apart. He just said, go subdue. So if you subdue 3 of the first 10, and they're all regions, could it be that the Africa is 2 regions and the Middle East is 3, making 5 of the East, and he takes over or affects those 3 regions in the Middle East? Could it be? We don't know. But the Antichrist will not be seen until the church is gone. Once again, I told you that the word church is not mentioned anymore after chapter 4. So I was thinking about making a book called The Logistics of Jesus. So you will follow him everywhere he goes. We'll follow the church. We'll follow the wording. Because when people try to defend they say there is no rapture, they use stupid logic. And then they say that the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. Fuss about schematics? I mean, people sometimes pass by the simplicity of the matter. For instance, the Federal Reserve is not federal. Oh, yeah? Okay, whatever. Do you understand this? The Federal Reserve is not federal. And I want to say something, but God doesn't want us to call anybody names. I mean, think about it. The Federal Reserve is not federal. Who's on the television said every time the interest rates need to be lowered or raised? The Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, Bernanke, they're on the news. The Federal Reserve is not federal, neither does it have a reserve. Oh, yeah, okay, whatever. But you can tell them that who killed Jack or who killed Victor Newman on the Youngling Wrestlers, they'd be good with that. Who's going to the Super Bowl? Oh, yeah, Pittsburgh Steelers, because I think they have a different... It's all fun and games until the football team can't save you. There's a movie coming out called 2012. I saw the previews. That's as close as you're going to... That's going to be a good movie. I hope the rapture happens before that. But if it don't, I'll be here. This is why I'll go to the movie and see that. It looks good already. 2012, sometime this year. Or maybe early next year. But I will be going to see that. But like I said, for us to say that this is a Christian nation, we really have to be honest with ourselves. If you saw somebody coming from your church coming out of a club, you're going to talk about them. If you look at the United States and that general time, what I just said, the example that I just said, there's no way this is a Christian nation. Even the sinner, no. I mean, the person, when I was at work, when I was in the Army, they knew when you were naughty or nice. The people who did not even follow God knew where you was trying to trick them. So they know when people watching you. The Bible says we're the light of the world. They're watching you. I'm serious. Your kids watching you. Your coworkers watching you. Darn near, if you find a red flag in your yard, government's coming up. They watching you. Everybody's watching you. You'd be surprised who's watching you. The boogeyman's watching you. I'm just joking when I say that. But people are watching. And they're watching to see if you're going to do the right thing. So if that's the case, who's watching the United States? How do you get that this is a Christian nation when the television is just terrible? And if you think the television is okay, then you're numb. You pass the house and you need to come all the way back before you go off a cliff. It's bad. And notice I'm not pointing people out. I mean, I could, but I'm just not doing it tonight. I'm going to have more shows, and I'm going to have a lot more stuff on this show. And I'm just coming out of nowhere. I got Tourette's. Excuse me for anybody out there, God, and I pray for you. But I feel like, okay, I'll do a show. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have stuff I'm going to talk about. Because when I go on ranting and raving, I'm still going to have stuff I need to talk about. Okay. God bless everybody in the chat room. I wanted to know if anybody know what happened to Recharge Radio. I think I heard her talking about it, but I have no idea. Somebody could tell me what happened to Recharge Radio. Anybody heard about it in the chat room? That'd be good. Well, God bless everybody out there. I can still read the chat room after the show goes off, but if anybody know what happened to Recharge Radio, please let me know, because I kind of like disappeared with schooling and all this other stuff, and I came back and it was completely gone. So, and if somebody out there knows, just go to my page and just put a comment in. This is what happened to Recharge Radio. Okay, I really... Yeah, thanks, Rapture. That's how you pronounce it. You okay with me, man. God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a wonderful day. I need to get to my switchboard so I can go off here the proper way. So y'all have a wonderful day, and somebody listen to my archives. God bless.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the part of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
God bless.